Greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Anyhow. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Afade. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, from the entertainment capital of the McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Corporation Complex, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only vegan radio show occupying the commercial airwaves. For the next hour, your radio, your cyberspace are veganized for your protection. Want peace? Want better health for you and your family? Want to save the planet? Well, go vegan. We can't do it without you. Vegans united we stand, or continue as meat eaters in the United States, and the proud eagle goes the way of the dodo bird. So you're either with the vegans or you're with the terrorists. So but don't thank me for doing my part to save the planet and the animals. Do your part. Go vegan. United as vegans we stand. If all nations would unite behind vegan action, what a wonderful world it would be. Oh, yeah. Why wasn't someone like vegan Congress member Denis Kucinich nominated for UN ambassador, huh? To spread the vegan word. Anyway, I think he really was elected president. Check the Diebold machines. He's my president, you know. Oh, and earlier in the week, Dr. Earl Mindell did address the United Nations. And yes, it's the same Dr. Earl Mindell who tells us that goji juice is the most important health discovery in decades. And we'll talk about that later in the hour. You can go to the website, govegan.freelife.com, for that. And yes, Dr. Earl Mindell at the United Nations this week. But it just shows you how much power the dairy industry has in the United States to get some guy nominated UN ambassador just because he's willing to wear a permanent milk mustache. I mean, mustache. Apparently that's John Bolton's only qualification to be nominated to the UN. We'd be better off with Michael Bolton and even with his singing. Yeah. I was leafing through some Establishment magazine the other day, and there was a dairy ad and a picture of Dr. Phil with a milk mustache. Right. Mustache, I mean. There goes his Oprah anointed credibility. Yeah, what a sellout he is. Let's see, in international news, since you don't get any news from the Establishment Meaty, emphasis on the India and China entered into a new cooperative agreement recently. The lands of Hinduism and Buddhism, China reportedly supporting India as a permanent member of the Security Council of the United Nations, a nation with over 500 million people who consider themselves vegetarian. Reminding me that a gathering of United Nations could only gather around a vegetarian meal, lest some member nation be offended. I mean, those from India would be offended by the serving of cow cadaver, huh? And Jews and Muslims in attendance would be offended by a plate of pig flesh. Some might even be offended by a dish of dog stew, if you could believe someone might be offended by that, or if you can believe somebody would eat that. Dog stew regularly consumed in restaurants in Korea, and Janes would be offended by the eating of any animal, chickens there. And I suppose that a heapin' helpin' of human finger chili from Wendy's probably wouldn't go over too well either. Nope. Wendy's the animal, that's when They consider it food, huh? We talked about that human finger. The True Peace meal is vegan, no animal ingredients. And how great it would be if we could get the nations of the United Nations united behind the vegan cause.
Yay!
What would that mean to What would that mean to planet Earth? And with Earth Day upon us, what is the cost of meat and dairy to our precious environment? Well, today we will find out. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking with Dr. David Pimentel, who is world-renowned as an environmentalist, an expert author, speaker. Al Franken, please stop eating barbecue on your program, Al Franken. You're supposed to be progressive. Speaking of progressive, by the way, I have had a couple of meetings lately with KPFK, the Pacifica outlet in Los Angeles at 90.7 FM. Now, that is really a progressive radio station. And maybe within the next week or so, there'll be good news on producing a vegan animal liberation program on KPFK. I may have talked them into a series. It might be an 8-week series, and maybe if there's a positive reaction, we can make it permanent there. But the most progressive station on the dial should certainly progress to vegan and animal rights issues, which they haven't. But I've been persistent for 2.5 years. I've been begging them. I even ran for the KPFK program council to try to make that happen. And yeah, how come I didn't get elected? I think KPFK used Diebold machines also, you know. But maybe if the show does happen on KPFK, one of its progressive listeners will say to me,
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll talk about Earth Day for the Animals a little bit later in the hour, coming up on Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. at Kung Food Restaurant in San Diego. And the Artivist Film Festival is coming up in L.A. And a little bit later in the hour, we'll talk to its organizer, Dayaki Diaz. And don't forget, Bowling for the Animals. It's the fun family thing to do. Bowling for the Animals. Bowlers are needed. Bowlers are wanted to help us kick off Be Kind to Animals Week, May 1st. So please, today, after the show, visit bowlingfortheanimals.org and get involved. Get people to support you and pledge their support. And remember, the top fundraisers get phenomenal prizes, vacations, and just all sorts of great things. You can check it on the website, bowlingfortheanimals.org. So please do your part. And, you know, just as I mentioned that people often thank me for going vegan, you know, for doing my part. Thank you for doing that. Well, you know, you have to do it too. Don't thank me. Just do your part and go vegan. And have you done your part in assuring that there is at least one vegan radio show in mainstream media? And your part is sending a donation. Now, I was advised by a listener this week to try to impress upon you that the airtime for this broadcast must be purchased. Yes, each and every week I have to come up with an enormous sum of money to pay for the airtime so that the animals can have a voice on the radio. I mean, what radio station in the next few weeks is going to be talking about World Week for Animals in Laboratories? If we don't have this one, and we know how scientific and accurate laboratories can be with all of those shipments of deadly flu being circulated this week, huh? We forgot to label it, they're saying, huh? Unfortunately, it appears that the creatures in the cages are more intelligent than their human counterparts in the laboratories outside the cages. And by the way, you don't need those vials to bring on the next deadly flu epidemic. You know, the bizarre cult practice of chicken eating is hatching a catastrophe in Asia now, and it is a great worry here in the United States that bird flu, avian flu, is on the way. So, another product of meat eating. And by the way, with World Week for Animals in Laboratories coming up, I suggest you visit the website for In Defense of Animals, IDAUSA.org, for events and occasions going on for that. So what you get here basically is information generally suppressed by the meaty once again, emphasis on the the ABCNN, BC, BS, Fox, Republoil Can propaganda channel. What you get here is the information that can help you make informed choices that could impact on your family's health and on the environment. So many people really don't know the devastation that meat and dairy consumption have on the environment. Well, you'll know today. By the end of the show, you will know that today. But I need your help in keeping this program on the air, because I'm not supported by advertising from McDevil's or Murder King or Wendy's or Kills Jr. or Outbreak Steakhouse. Or I wonder why I don't get any advertising dollars from any of those folks, huh? So I need your help. Of course, we have some wonderful sponsors on this show who support us, so I hope you'll buy their products when you hear them, and alternatives to animal exploitation. But you can do your part. You can make a check payable to Go Vegan. You know, goveganradio.com is a project of 501c3 nonprofit International Humanities Center. So you make your check payable to Go Vegan, and you mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. You can also donate online at goveganradio.com. Make it a tax-deductible donation, or if you don't trust me with your money, you can make your check payable to the radio station upon which you hear this show, and I will pass it on to them to put toward the tab here. If you have any questions about this, you can call 818-623-6477. My email is bob@goveganradio.com, and you can sign up for email alerts at goveganradio.com. I will keep you up to date on any station changes. You never know when we pop up on another station. We move, we do this, we do that, we come on KPFK. So I'll keep you up to date. All you have to do is sign up for email alerts at goveganradio.com, and you can listen to this show anytime online at goveganradio.com. I thank you for listening, and we will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
How wonderful.
And yes. Delicious Veggianese is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianese. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianese? Or a tofu burger with Veggianese? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianese in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianese in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianese, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. And also from Follow Your Heart, don't forget, you got vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, so you don't have to include that scary dairy in your diet. When you have vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, they melt, so you can have nachos, enchiladas, lasagna, whatever you like. And also, don't give your family the bird. You have chicken-free chicken, all the taste, none of the bird. That from Follow Your Heart. And also, now, organic dressings from Follow Your Heart, certified organic by Quality Assurance International, produced with solar power. And some of the delicious vegan dressings are creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
Yuck.
Whoops. What was that? No. We don't mean yuck for that. That would have said McDonald's yuck if. No. We wouldn't say yuck for those dressings. Those dressings are delicious. Anyway, want to tell you, you know, what's really yucky is, you know, you go into a store and you pass by the meat case there, and it's just full of death and destruction. You know, it's nothing like the produce section. It's full of life and color, and you know, there's none of that yuck over at Rancho's Natural Food Market in San Diego in North Park, 3918 30th Street. Now that, except for honey, it has gone vegan. Vegan everywhere. The deli with delicious entrees and soups, 100% vegan. Get your organic produce and bulk items. Rancho's has an organic salad bar with raw dressings. I love the agave dressing. I'm there practically every day because of that agave dressing. There's a great juice bar. You can pick out your organic vegetables and have them juiced right there. Organic wheatgrass juice, even organic salsa. Vegan pastries available from We Make It Vegan. And, you know, if you're just considering being vegan, or if you're considering going with the raw lifestyle, there's a good library there. Many books for you to peruse, and all at Rancho's Natural Foods Market, welcoming all raw food enthusiasts. People are very appreciative of the variety. There's a banana, a raw banana cheesecake there that is just incredible. So, and you also have Rancho's Cocina Mexican and Vegetarian Cuisine location. Well, there's a location right next door to the Mercado there at 3910 30th Street, and two other locations, 1830 Sunset Cliffs and 4705 Point Loma Avenue, each with close to 100 vegan menu options. We're just messing around with high technology here, and I think we just lost Dr. Pimentel on the line, so we're trying to get him back on to talk about meat and the environment. While we're redialing him, you know, I was just talking to you a little bit about Dr. Earl Mindell speaking at the United Nations, and he is a world-renowned nutritionist. People know him from the Vitamin Bible, and you know, he's been on all the major television shows, Oprah, etc. And he's saying that goji berry juice is the most important health discovery in decades. Of course, this is a health secret known in Asia for many centuries, actually. Maybe you haven't heard of goji yet, but you're not alone in that. It's occupied a very important place in traditional Asian medicine for countless generations. And, well, over the centuries, traditional health practitioners have passed down anecdotal evidence of the power of goji to each generation. But it's also documented in a number of scientific studies published in journals like the Journal of Chinese Herbal Medicine, the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, China Pharmacology and Toxicology, Chinese Herb News Magazine, Research Communications, Molecular Pathology and Pharmacology, Chinese Patent Herbs, Chinese Herbs, you know, on and on the list goes about the benefits of goji juice. You know, there's the science, and then also the legend. For example, one legend tells of the extraordinary life of a Chinese man named Li Quin Hen, who was born in 1678 and died in 1930. Well, that's 252 years. So goji has been renowned for its effects on longevity, overall cell rejuvenation, powerful protection against germs. Experts say sipping 2 ounces of goji juice daily for as little as 3 weeks dramatically improves your immune system. And now with, you know, whatever they're letting out in laboratories by mistake around the country, I think it would be good to improve the immune system, don't you? So go to the website, would you please? It's govegan.freelife.com. All the information about goji is right there. And again, that's govegan.freelife.com. If you'd like to be a marketing representative, you can do that. Or you can order the juice right there, and I think you'll really enjoy it. How are we, Dr.? Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, I mistakenly used a news line that had to be used here to get in touch with Dr. Pimentel, and now we've switched lines, and I think we are technologically successful now. David Pimentel has been a professor of ecology and agricultural sciences at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, and he's published more than 560 scientific papers and 23 books, and he served on many national and government committees, including the National Academy of Sciences, the President's Science Advisory Council, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, U.S. Department of Energy, U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, Office of Technology Assessment of the U.S. Congress, and the U.S. State Department. And in fact, he developed the first course in general ecology at Cornell University, and nationally, well, as I said, he served for the Office of the President as chairman of the Environmental Studies Board in the National Academies of Sciences. So I think he has a bit of credibility here. When you hear me talking about meat and the environment, you say, oh, yeah, well, you're a cow-hugging, loving, chicken, pig-loving animal activist, but Dr. Pimentel is a scientist who's in demand everywhere and speaks out on the issue. And welcome, Dr. Pimentel. It's been quite a while since you've been on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
You're right. Happy to be back.
Great. It's great to have you here. A lot of people really don't relate environmental devastation to meat-based, dairy-based agriculture at all. They would be quite surprised to know of its environmental effects. So if we have 10 or 15 minutes right here, what...
Give you one example. A professor at the University of Denver just wrote me, and I made some calculations. She teaches environmental science at University of Denver. Anyway, she was asking about the quantity of gasoline, for example, to produce 1 pound of meat, beef that is, hamburger, any a quantity of water used in the production of that 1 pound of beef. And I made the calculation, and I'll give it to you, and that is it takes a little bit less than a half a gallon of gasoline to produce 1 pound of hamburger or beef. And it takes over 5,000 gallons of water to produce that 1 pound of beef. So it's really demanding of natural resources to consume these resources, and anything we could do to reduce that consumption certainly would help the environment and our natural resources.
So it's half a gallon of gas per pound of beef.
That's right. And 5,000, well, if you want the number, 5,200 gallons of water to produce that 1 pound of beef. I've got numbers for a lot of the different things, but I just made that calculation for her, and I thought you might be interested.
Hello?
In that.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I actually saw a study by the government of Switzerland, or Sweden, this past year that calculated a pound of beef at 8,500 gallons of water. So
8,500 gallons?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It might be, well, that might be reasonable if you're talking about a grass-fed livestock. This is based on...
Hello?
What do you call it? Feedlot beef.
Hello?
Where they're feeding large. It takes about 13...
Hello, Christine?
Hello.
Hello, we have somebody else on the line here now, or...
I'm here. This is Sayaki.
Oh, hi, yeah. Oh, it's not your turn yet, so...
I'm still waiting. No problem.
Okay. All right. That's our guest coming up momentarily here to talk about the Artivist Film Festival. But we're talking to Dr. David Pimentel of Cornell University here now. And so basically we could, it seems like we could leave our SUVs idling out in the in the driveway, you know, if we give up meat. Right, Dr. Pimentel. Oops. Did I lose him? I lost him. Okay. So, Diaki, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're going to try to get Dr. Pimentel back on the line. And while we're waiting for that, I guess we could say hello to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bob?
Okay, just juggling the technology here. See, it's like telephones are too advanced for me. So, but we have the Artivist Film Festival that's coming up, and you are the founder.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And the festival begins at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. From when the opening night ceremonies is Wednesday, April 20th, and it runs until Sunday night, April 24th, which is we close the festival with the 2005 Artivist Award.
And what can people expect to see at the festival?
Well, basically, the Artivist Film Festival focuses on raising awareness for four categories, as we say, which is raising awareness for international human rights, children's advocacy, animal rights, and environmental preservation through film and music. So what we do is, throughout the week of the festival, we have, like, the Animal Advocacy Day, which is coming up on Thursday, April 21st. And then the following day, we have the Earth Day celebration, which deals with films that focus on the environment. Saturday is the Human Rights Day, and all of our films tend to focus on human rights issues across the world. And then on Sunday is Children's Advocacy, and in the evening is the Artivist Awards. So what sort of is a unique component to our film festival is that we dedicate an entire day and an entire category of our focus to animal rights and animal advocacy.
Ah, very good.
So we are definitely... Bob, I have to tell you, I'm your newest fan, because this is, I'm honest to say, the first time that I've really... listened in on your show, and you have a brand new fan with me, so I will be tuning in every week. It's a fantastic show, and I'm just so happy to see that there are such wonderful animal-loving and vegetarian-friendly shows out there on the air. So,
there's only one.
then if you're the one, then that's fantastic, and we definitely invite you to come down to the festival because that is just, it's wonderful to see what you're doing.
Right.
For your listeners as well. One particular day that I think would be of interest is, on Thursday, April 24th, and our films begin in the afternoon at 4 p.m., and they go until midnight. We have a special screening of the film The Witness. We have Peaceable Kingdom, which is screening that evening. We have a film called Earthlings, which will be screening as well. And then we have quite a few shorts that deal with various components of animal advocacy and animal rights. We also have a wonderful animal rights forum where we will have Dr. Elliot Katz, from the founder of In Defense of Animal, who will be speaking, Gretchen Weiler from HSUS. We have representatives from PETA and quite a few other animal rights organizations coming down for this big animal rights forum at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood on Thursday, April 21st.
So that's this coming Thursday, and well, I've never really heard such an emphasis on animal issues in a festival like this before. Are you and you're the founder of this film festival? Is that close to your heart also then?
Well, absolutely. I think what Artivist really represents and what it really tries to emphasize is that we're all interdependent. We're all earthlings. So whether you're talking about the environment, talking about humans, talking about animals, it's all one. So it really is about raising awareness and compassion and respect for all living beings. And there really isn't a film festival out there that is really pushing and focusing for animal rights and animal advocacy. So we just felt that there was just a dire need to have a festival that really focused on that issue through film. Because there are many incredible filmmakers that are going out there, risking their lives, risking jail to videotape what's happening behind closed doors, to make films about these issues that are so crucial and so important for people to become aware of. And this is really a wonderful, inviting environment for those filmmakers to come and show their films and share them with the general public, because it's not that the public doesn't care, it's that often they're not aware of the issues, they're not aware of the problem. So what we do is we create a platform for these issues to be brought to light. And I remember last year was our first festival, our first annual film festival, and we had people that were so shocked with the animal advocacy and the animal rights films. They had no clue.
Right.
And some of them would come out of the movie theaters, you know, in tears, and some of them would come out, you know, just enraged. But it was wonderful because it really presented information that they were not aware of. And the whole purpose of our festival is to make people aware and then to give them some positive choices that they can make.
And you have a website for the event. It's
absolutely. It's www.artivist, which is artivist.us, like United States. And people can purchase tickets online. People can purchase tickets by also dialing 1-800-595-4TIX.
Okay.
That's where they can go and learn more about the festival.
Excellent. So you've combined the words activist and artist to come up with Artivist.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well.
And that's what these filmmakers are. I mean, they're grabbing their cameras and they're changing the world for a better place, and they're doing it through their art. They're really tackling activism through art.
And you're an activist yourself, you think?
Yes, absolutely. I'm an activist myself, obviously. I think an activist is someone that lives by example and someone that tries to take positive actions in our global community, and that's what we all do, and that's what we encourage the general public when they come to the festival to do. We're not about pointing fingers, and I want to really state that, because I think that's what makes Artivist a bit more digestible for some people. But we're not about pointing fingers and making anyone wrong. We're really about having people take a look at their own actions, the power of one, just their own actions and how their actions impact the world we live in.
Yes, okay.
So when people take it from that point of view, instead of sort of pointing a finger at Bush or the meat industry or all of these other companies, well, you know, they're in business because we put them in business.
Mm-hmm. Leave the finger pointing to me. You just show those great you just show those great films in the line. I've seen every one of those that you mentioned, and they're all excellent, and I highly recommend that that people visit the festival. And it's did you say it was artivist.us or artivist.com or
no, it's artivist.us.
Okay.
And we absolutely welcome and invite the entire animal rights and animal advocacy, and you as well, Bob,
okay.
To please come down starting on Wednesday, April 20th, which is the opening night ceremonies for Artivists. And the entire week of the festival from April 20th until April 24th, we have musicians performing in the courtyard. We have organic wine. We have vegan foods the entire week. So it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come and watch some great films, listen to some great music, drink some fabulous organic wine, and have some fantastic vegan food.
Excellent. Diaki, so the location again is?
At the renowned Egyptian Theater in Hollywood.
And where is that?
The Egyptian Theater is located on 6712 Hollywood Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood, California, 90028.
Okay.
For people who want to MapQuest it.
Okay, excellent. So that's Diaki Diaz. She's the organizer, the promoter of the Artivist Film Festival coming up this week in Los Angeles. You can go to Artivist. That's a creative word there, A-R-T-I-V-I-S-T, artivist.us. And I want to thank you for being on the show today with us and really appreciate what you're doing. This is an outstanding festival.
Well, we really appreciate what you're doing, Bob, and you definitely have a brand new fan and artivist. So continue doing what you're doing. Many blessings to you, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Diaki. And you, if you know, you can catch up on past shows, you can go to goveganradio.com, and we have archive shows there, so you can catch up on what you're missing.
Absolutely. Well, we will definitely post it on the Artivist website for people to come and also learn more about Bob at Go Vegan.
All right. And you can direct your friends to go to the website and hear your interview, this program. You know, it's on there for the rest of the week until next Sunday.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay. Thank you, Diaki.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And, okay, the Dr. Pimentel is back. Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay, so we have about 10 minutes here. I really, you know, you're speaking in front of the major organizations of the world related to the environment, meat consumption, dairy consumption, and the environment. So fill us in on your expertise. What should we be learning about here?
Well, I just told you about the quantity of energy and water that's required to produce a 1 pound of beef hamburger, well, any kind of beef.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because when you mentioned the water quantity, and
yeah.
you mentioned 5,000, you said if they were grass-fed animals, might be 8,500.
You
know,
right.
I'm thinking, you know, a big gallon jug of that, like, Arrowhead water, it's like pouring a gallon of that down the drain every day for 22 years?
No, that's true.
For one pound of beef.
That's right. That's it.
And water is water and oil are major resources. In fact, people go to war over
both of them.
Over and, both of them.
So anything we could do to reduce our consumption, and we're told that we in America eat way too much meat, milk, and eggs. But beef is one of the most costly products that are produced relative to resources of energy and water, and also it takes a lot of land. Nearly 40% of the U.S. land, now I'm not going to blame it out on beef, but is utilized for animal production. So
Real?
It's significant.
That's getting in the way of strip malls, that much
that's
land.
Right.
How
right.
can we build strip malls?
Because some of that land is very marginal. In other words, because it, as you indicated, lack of water makes a lot of this land very low productivity, and it takes cattle and sheep to forage on these areas to convert that very minuscule amount of vegetation into a product that we can use.
And doesn't that lead to soil erosion and desertification?
There is. In many of the cases, we've got overgrazing taking place, which results in serious erosion.
So then the land loses its value to grow, to be fertile.
That's right. No question about that. And we could do a better job, and also in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Keep shocking us. Keep shocking the people who think that they're meat-eating environmentalists, yet they're wasting half a gallon of gasoline on every pound of beef and 5,000 gallons of water on every pound of beef.
It does take these enormous quantities. And it's also reflected in the high price of beef. I haven't shopped for beef or anything else for a long time.
Nor have I, so.
So okay, so I can't tell you what the price is. It was probably in the neighborhood of $5 or more a pound. I would guess.
And subsidized too, right?
Subsidized. You're right to a large extent.
Because the prices would be a lot higher if they were allowed to. If the market would be a real market.
Paying the full price.
Right.
Including the environmental costs that. Are associated. A lot of the water that's produced out there in your region is subsidized to a tune of $5 billion annually.
Mm-hmm.
Just think if we added that to our bill on food.
Right. Well, $5 billion. Yeah, I mean, we could buy tofu burgers for the kids in all the schools.
There's so much
we could do. Yeah. So.
That's true.
Now, what about pesticides and?
Corn is the number one grain that is fed to livestock in the U.S. In fact, I think the number is 70% of our corn goes into livestock, and. Corn production causes more soil erosion than any other crop. It uses more nitrogen fertilizer than any other crop, and of course that pollutes both surface and groundwaters and is contributing to that dead zone down in the Gulf. Also, corn production uses more insecticides than any other crop grown in the U.S. and more herbicides than any other crop grown in the U.S., and both of those pollute groundwater and surface water resources.
Hmm.
This is why I've also been pointing out that ethanol production is a major problem because it primarily relies on corn as its resource to produce ethanol.
Right, and then that's using fossil fuel again, right?
It requires 1.3 gallons of oil equivalents to produce 1 gallon of ethanol. And so we're having to import oil from Saudi Arabia and elsewhere to produce ethanol.
Wow. And the corn that's being fed to the animals.
And the dry distiller's grain that remains is then goes into livestock. You're right. Mostly cattle.
Yeah. So and then
so it has a lot of environment. Well, it's contributing to global warming, and all these other factors that I just mentioned.
Yeah. So meat production contributes to global warming enormously, doesn't it?
That's right. It does. And not only from the resources that are used, but as you well know, they produce a lot of methane gas that also causes or contributes to global warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't take into account the pesticides, the herbicides,
the
Monsanto Roundup Ready, products
true.
Like that, which I think I just saw a study that talked about how amphibians, how frogs are being decimated by Roundup, by Monsanto's Roundup.
I don't know if it's Roundup, but certainly atrazine is one of the prime resource herbicides. I think this study was done at University of California at Berkeley. What's his last name? Tyrone Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to get in touch with him and the impacts of these herbicides on causing deformed frogs and other amphibians.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think years ago when you were on the show, you expressed concern about pollination and bees and that whole...
That's right, and that's still a major problem. In fact, we estimate that the use of pesticides in particular is causing reduced pollination to the tune of, loss of honey and loss of wax and so forth, to the tune of about $325 million annually. And so that the bees are suffering, and then a lot of the farmers have to hire or rent bees to pollinate their apples and cherries and melons and so forth.
So the natural process of pollination by bees is interrupted by meat production because of pesticides. I mean,
that certainly contributes, yes.
Is there anything good about me? Trying to find something good about meat,
well,
and I can't think of...
it does provide vitamin B12.
We don't want to really hear anything good about meat, because then all the other negative, you get vitamin
right.
B12, but heart disease, cancer, stroke.
Yeah, that is true. This is why we should be very cautious about how much we do eat, of all foods.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm cautious enough not to have any meat.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Have you gotten there yet yourself, or?
I eat very little meat, and am mostly try to get a good balanced diet and keep the meat to a minimum.
Yes, that would be good in this day and age. And
it is for our resources in particular.
Yes, uh-huh. So we have about another minute or so left, and I just would leave that to you if we haven't covered anything or what you might want to address.
Well, I think
address.
One of the main problem is water, and just to produce an acre of corn, let me tell you that, it takes a corn crop during the growing season, which is about 3 months, requires or pumps through it 500,000 gallons of water.
Wow.
Remember, 1 acre of corn during the growing season utilizes 500,000 gallons of water.
Wow. That is...
So, and in the U.S. alone, 80% of the water that is pumped is for irrigation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so agriculture is the prime consumer or user of water in the United States. And I think... California, I think, is 85%. You're just slightly above the average for the U.S.
Right.
I thought it would be higher, but that's what they report.
Wow. And, with water shortages and droughts and population explosions...
all of them are playing a role.
Yeah. So, I would say, talking
with you.
It was a pleasure to talk to you again, Dr. Pimentel.
Good.
And we'll have you back again in the future.
Okay.
And
okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
So thanks for being with
right.
us.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, there you have it. You want to destroy the environment? Go buy a pound of beef. That's what it comes down to. All right. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we will continue. Okay, I believe we should look at the calendar. There are actually some exciting events going on today, like WorldFest 2005, LA's largest Earth Day celebration now. It's a solar-powered celebration of music, food, the environment, and animals. I know that because I wrote that line many years ago when we started up WorldFest. I'm one of the founders. A great event it is. It's today at Woodley Park till about 6:30. Woodley Park in Van Nuys. They're on Woodley, just south of Victory, between Burbank and Victory on Woodley in Van Nuys. And they have over 33 bands on 3 stages, a poetry festival, an eco tent, vegan food. It says ethnic and vegetarian foods here. The first World Fest that we did, we said, we're just going to promote this as a... as a music and food festival, we'll keep it a secret that it's vegan, and then hit people over the head with it when they get here. So kids' activities and great exhibits and animal adoptions. All of that happening today till 6:30 out there at Woodley Park in Van Nuys. Also, an event happening today in support of the South Central Farmers. It's a free concert at the farm. We've covered this story over the past months. The farm at 41st and Alameda in South Central LA, where many families grow their food, and they've been threatened to be evicted from it. And we want to make sure the folks there still have access to the land, and it's really important to the families there that they be able to stay on the property and keep growing their food at 41st and Alameda in South Central LA. And the concert's going until 6 o'clock today. And say hi to the farmers out there, and you have many bands performing: Mezcaya, Quinto Sol, Fosforo, many others there. So, a few months ago we had Dennis Kucinich come out to the farm to show support, solidarity for the folks out there. It's so important, because if the farm goes, then it's 99-cent meals at McDevil's. We don't want that to happen. We want people to have access to real food that grows from the earth, not from the animals walking upon the earth or flying or swimming. This coming Tuesday, which is April 19th, cancer-proofing your body with plant superfoods, Dr. Michael Greger speaking in San Diego. The doors open at 6, and he's on at 6:45 p.m. It's $3 per person donation, but free if you're a meat eater, and that's at the Health Services Complex, Coronado Conference Room, 3851 Rosecrans Street in San Diego, sponsored by Last Chance for Animals and All Vegan. And next Saturday is the big day, Earth Day for the animals. It's their planet, too. It's a reggae music and vegan food fest that's happening starting at 1 p.m. We'll go till about 11 at Kung Food Restaurant, 2949 Fifth Avenue, at Quince near Balboa Park. We have a couple of San Diego's most exciting reggae bands there. Irieside, they'll start at 5 p.m. The live reggae music starts at 2. I'll be hosting it. It's a benefit for Go Vegan Radio, so we can pay for the radio airtime. Sponsored by Whole Soy, specializing in dairy-like yogurt and smoothies and frozen desserts made from whole organic soybeans. And we'll have a Whole Soy smoothie for everyone coming out there. Complimentary. And yes, indeed, also sponsored by Earth Vegan Footwear, the most comfortable shoes you can imagine, because of the design by Danish yoga master Ann Kalso, that negative hail technology. You can go to earthvegan.us. I have my navigators on right now. They are so comfortable, the most comfortable sandals I have ever had. And then when I have dressy occasions, I put on my Aspens. And we have a special menu out at Kung Food that you'll just love it, with the burgers, the cheeseburgers, the hummus, the pizza, all the good stuff, but all vegan, no animal ingredients. Organic vino and cerveza available there too. So I hope to see you out there. I think what we might do is make the admission $10, and then you would purchase the food from the expansive menu. So I think that's how it's going to work now. Originally, we said $20 at the door, but I think we're working toward $10, and then you would purchase the food there. We'll have Farm Sanctuary with its new environmental literature and just all sorts of good stuff going on. Plus, you can win a pair of Earth Vegan footwear, courtesy of All Vegan, 4669 Park Boulevard in University Heights. So anyway, I expect to see you this coming Saturday. Do your part. Come out, have a good time, dance to the reggae, eat great food, and it's all for the cause. And bring your meat-eating environmentalist friends, okay? If there are. if there is such a thing. Huh? So we will see you out there. Kung Fu this coming Saturday starts at 1, and then the following week, Sunday, May 1st, it is Bowling for the Animals. And what a great way to start off Be Kind to Animals Week. So what you should be doing now is soliciting from your friends, family, co-workers. Have them sponsor you. Have them sponsor your bowling there. And then get out there and bowl and raise money for 4 very worthy animal organizations. Along with Go Vegan being a beneficiary this year and San Diego Animal Advocates, you have the House Rabbit Society and St. Nicholas Hope for Animals. And we'll have them on next week as guests on this show, talking about the fine work that they do. And let me remind you that if you're a vegan, you need a set of wheels. You are a VIP, vegan important person, at Bear Auto, 1944 South Santa Fe Drive in Vista. The phone number is 760-597-1600. Open 7 days a week. Go to the website. It's bearautosales.com, B-E-A-R autosales.com. You'll see the inventory. You'll get directions, info on in-house financing. Bear Auto buys cars, too. They'll give you cash, and if you're a vegan, you'll feel quite comfortable. PETA posters on the wall, no sales pressure, except from maybe Chet and Lewis, the two rescued sales poodles who were there. But, you know, it's a welcoming environment. As I said, PETA posters on the wall. Where's the last car dealership you went to with that had PETA posters on the wall, huh? And by the way, if you go to the PETA website, you'll see that PETA has ended its boycott against Petco. And you can see the reasons why at PETA.org. Let me see if I can run through a few news items here. Let's see. This from NewsTarget.com. Lack of basic nutrition creates generation of criminals, prison system society. A new study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry shows that children who experience malnutrition exhibit strikingly increased behavioral disorders and aggressive behavior as they grow older. The study looked at children between the ages of 8 and 17 years and found some rather shocking statistics about their behaviors. Children who suffered certain nutritional deficiencies had a shocking 41% increase in aggression at age 8. At age 17, they demonstrated a 51% increase in violent and antisocial behaviors. Incidentally, they're talking about children who are eating a lot of meat protein, which is not quality protein, and they need fruits and vegetables in the diet. We had people on before from a prison program. There was an experimental pilot program there, an experimental vegan program, where the inmates who were on the vegan program had 90% fewer behavioral problems than the inmates who were meat eaters. We can lower the music there maybe a little bit. And this also from interesting from a TV station in Austin, Texas. Animals are to be considered crime victims. Experts say there's a proven connection between animal abuse and domestic violence. That's why, for the first time ever, animals are being added to the annual list of Travis County crime victims. Elected officials, victim rights activists, and animal rights groups gathered at City Hall recently to kick off National Crime Victims Rights Week. And dogs had purple bandanas to wear, signaling that pets are victims of abuse as well as humans. Quote, there every single day we have dogs and cats that have been victimized in that they weren't wanted anymore and they were thrown out on the road. And a retired FBI agent told KXAN that after interviewing dozens of serial killers, a good percentage of them admitted to abusing and torturing animals when they were younger. So, there's the connection there. You want peace in the world? Go vegan. Okay, please make your tax-deductible donation. All the information is at goveganradio.com. And I look forward to seeing you next Saturday at Kung Food for Earth Day for the Animals. And I appreciate your listening. And, what can I tell you? Please, stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. And have a good week.